Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Premier Football Podcast with me, Hyrule here. Joining me, a couple of our fellow pundits once again. Oh, come on guys, give me another name to call you guys.
Fandits.
That's a good one. I've got Ewan. Hey, Ewan.
Hey, man.
And Cal. Hey, Cal.
Hey, man. What's up?
Good, good. We've gone past the transfer window. All the dust has settled down. We've seen all the ins and outs of the clubs around Premier League, around the leagues in Europe. One thing that's interesting is the teams in the relegation area or the relegation zone of the Premier League. There are quite a few teams down there, and it's a bit hard to see right now because of all the postponements. You know, the number of games played by each team is not consistent. Some have played more, some have played less. You look at Newcastle, for example, they've played only 19 games. But from what I gather, you could probably see a group of maybe 7 clubs who are fighting to prevent the drop, basically. Like I said, that's Newcastle. Below them is Burnley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watford, Norwich, Everton, Leeds United, and possibly Brentford. I guess that's probably where I would draw the line, because, you know, if Newcastle, or rather if Burnley, I got it wrong earlier. Burnley is the one that's played only 19 games. So if Burnley plays all their games in hand, they'll put them at 25. So, you know, if everyone has played the same number of games and assuming they win all those games, right? Yeah, Crystal Palace will be, you know, slightly out of reach. So Palace may be safe. But yeah, so I'll draw the line at Brentford. let's go around the table. Cal, I'll start with you. So I can't remember exactly who you said will get the drop earlier on in this season, but right now, after all said and done, who do you think is going to get relegated?
Oh, I think the relegation race has become more interesting than the Premier League race, right? Because, you know, barring Liverpool's game in hand and result against City, but from the looks of it, I still think Watford would go down. Watford might go down. Leeds is one that I'm a bit concerned because they played the game more than Everton, right? But also the fact that they're missing Bamford, Kevin Phillips, all these guys were key players for them, you know, to kind of get the results going, moving ahead. And even their defense is like, what, 40 goals conceded, I think? Their Watford and their Leeds are 40 goals conceded. So to me, right now, if I were to pick 3, I would go with Norwich, Newcastle, and Leeds. I see Burnley surviving somehow, and because the thing is, Burnley they have no pressure, right? They've lost Chris Wood, you know. People are not going to be bothered to look at. They'll grind out a 0-0 against Arsenal, which I thought they wouldn't. To be honest, Arsenal could have killed off that game, I think 2-0, 3-0 easily, but somehow luck was on their side, and they play United next, which we all know. I mean, we're not sure which United's going to show up for this game. So, and Burnley, I think Burnley's got a pretty good back line, a pretty solid keeper, pretty good in Ben Mee and Travolski. And I think it's in this relegation battle, sometimes it's the goal can just go in for you on a set piece, a lucky break, that kind of thing. But if you don't have the proper defenders to grind out the results and defend as a unit, that's when you struggle. So that's why I'm still seeing Norwich, Watford and Newcastle to go down.
So Watford, even with the second new managerial appointment of the season, jeez, in Roy Hodgson, it's not going to do any wonders for them.
Look, I don't know what he said. I don't know what he was thinking when he said that it was like a ship passing by and seeing the mermaid, and we can't resist but to go towards the mermaid. That's why he took up the Watford job. If that's not enough proof that this guy is starting to go a bit off the rails, I think that whole comment of when he signed up for Watford has done it. But Watford, in that sense, I think they're too dependent on Dennis up front to kind of get, and then Joshua King as well. other than that, you don't see where the threats are coming from Watford. And I don't know, I don't fancy Watford. I've seen them play in games and all, but something still, I don't think they have that grind and that ability to actually fight it out. So yeah, Watford's still going down.
Yeah, Newcastle, of course, you know, all that Saudi money, all for naught, in your opinion?
Yeah, because you think you buy players that are not Premier League, and we've seen that like Bruno from Olympique Lyon, right? He is not Premier League bedded in, you know, so that's the thing that's a bit concerning as well. You bring you bring the likes of Dan Burn, Matt Taggart, who else did they bring in? They brought in as well a Chris Wood, these guys who can kind of get you the points, but it still takes time to gel the team that you want to play for Newcastle, for Eddie Howe. And I don't know, I'm still very complex with this Newcastle team, because your likes of Matty Longstaff, players who have been there, who can actually, you know, fight for the club and get the result, the Longstaff brothers, you put them on loan, which I think you would need players like that at times to be, you know, local boys to say, we've got to fight, get the result, get it going. You bring in players on not so big transfers, but I think the wages are actually pretty good. And I don't know, I don't see them being able, they'll get the surprise result here and there, but I don't think they'll be able to survive. And actually, that's the ideal part for them. I think, to me personally, I think that's the ideal situation for Newcastle. Go down a tier, build up your squad fully, then come back up again, and then you start challenging.
Now, we spoke last week's episode about surprising transfers, and I have to admit, Bruno Guimarães' transfer to Newcastle is very surprising to me. I mean, he was highly rated. I mean, what do you think is behind that transfer to Newcastle of all teams?
And I mean, from what I read about him and his background, his history, he just wanted to be, I think, was he at 19 when he was at, no, sorry, 20 at Lyon? And they were playing, was it Nantes or Rennes? And then the senior players were not sure what to do. And he said, no, you just give me the ball and I'll actually lead it from there. So, you know, that kind of mentality he has. And the last time I read about a player similar to that was actually Ruben Dias from Man City, who goes in, he wants to be the alpha, he wants to be the leader, he wants to take charge, he wants the responsibility. So, you know, as much as we think it might be financially motivated, and it might be to a certain extent, of course, footballers don't have a very long lifespan in the game, right? So they want to make as much as they can. But I think for him personally, so it's a challenge for him to come to the Premier League and make his name, like be the player that actually took Newcastle out from relegation to survival and even much more. So to me, I think that's where his personal approach is. But to me, really surprising. You had the likes of Bayern, Real, Barca, Chelsea, you name it. Like, they were just chasing. They were kind of scoping out for him to join. I think most likely Arsenal was the one. But like another L for Arsenal at the transfer window.
Ewan Kell said his piece on who he thinks are going to be relegated. Who are your picks then for the bottom three?
Okay, just looking at, you know, just the numbers, right? And I like to look at the numbers because I think they don't lie. Although Burnley, you know, has played 19 games and have 13 points propping up the bottom of the table. That's two less than Newcastle and Watford. They only have one victory all season. You know, 10 draws and 8 losses. That's definitely not Premiership form. I think they'll be the first to go down. I don't think they'll be able to make up on the points because, you know, come a certain point in the season, everyone wants to play well, and probably Burnley will fall short of just being able to, they'll be able to step it up a gear, but everyone's also stepping it up a gear. So they'll fall short of playing catch up, and I think they will go down first. The next one I'm looking at is Newcastle, because like you guys are just saying, right, all that Saudi money, all these transfers, and only two wins this season. Surely that even before the transfer window opened, they were better than a two-win team. But if they still only have the two victories, nine draws and 10 losses, you're looking at a team that's not motivated. You're looking at a team that, as Kel said, probably the best thing for them would be to get relegated and come back up. But, you know, sad for those players who made the transfers over the likes of Kieran Trippier, you know, and all these guys that shouldn't be playing Championship football, but I think in all likelihood they will be next season. And the question would then be, would these players still want to be playing there, or would they, you know, make another move, you know, just within a few months of moving to St. James's? So, yeah, Newcastle, number two, although I really don't like to see them go down, because they're one of the, you know, one of the teams that you want to see in the Premier League, a big club. And the third one would be, this is going to be a hard one, but it's between Norwich and Watford. And I think Watford, because they're just not stable, you know, Ranieri and now Roy Hodgson, and seeing mermaids and stuff, as you said. So, you know, I numbers wise, they've also let in 40 goals, you know, have only 4 wins, 3 draws, 14 losses. Norwich is around the same with 4-4 and 14. So, you know, it's between them and Norwich. And I would say probably Watford, based on the form that Norwich has won their last 2 games. So, you know, they're, you know, stepping it up right now. You know, it remains to be seen. But I think the bigger clubs, the clubs that should not be around the relegation zone, the likes of Leeds and Everton, even Brentford, I think those guys are safe. They just need to you know, perhaps even win every other game, and they should be safe. Just simply because the bottom three, the bottom four right now won't be able to make up the numbers, I think.
So you think the games in hand that Burnley has, they've only played 19, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to count for anything?
Yeah, I think they might as well not have any games in hand, because, yeah, I don't think they're going to win them anyway. Yeah.
Would it mean the end of the road for Sean Dyche at Burnley then?
You know what? I think with Burnley and his relationship and the amount of time he spent there, and the number of times he's, I think he's gone down twice already, right? And then come back twice, if I'm not wrong. But, you know, I think he's got a strong relationship with the club. I think it depends on whether he wants to do it all over again, go back down and come back up again, do that whole, you know, that whole song and dance again. Because I think he can do it, and I think the board knows he can do that. Or whether the people upstairs, they want a change, a breath of fresh air, so that, you know, they don't just keep being a yo-yo club and, you know, bouncing up and down. Yeah, so, but I have a feeling, though, there probably won't be, you know, that many other people with, you know, that sort of, I don't know, ability to be able to bring a club up and stay there. So they might still stay with him for at least for a while more, I think. Yeah, because, you know, I think he's done a good job there. But, you know, once they get to the Premier League, though, then, you know, it might be a, I don't know, they might let him go. When they drop, they might let him go maybe the next time they're promoted and they hit another bad spot. Yeah.
Now, your other two picks, Newcastle and Watford, they've got new managers as well. Mm-hmm, if they get relegated, do you think both of them will stick with what they have? Especially, you know, this is Roy Hodgson, right? I mean,
yeah,
he was supposed to be in retirement.
Yes, I think they might. I think we discussed this previously on a couple of other episodes, before this, that, you know, the clubs nowadays, they might be hiring with relegation in mind. Not just, of course, they want the priority, of course, is they want the manager to keep the club up, right? To be able to fight to stay in the Premier League. But if not, they're also looking at the candidate that could go down with the club, stay with the club and come back up. So, you know, Eddie Howe, I think not a problem with Newcastle. I think, you know, if they go down, I think he will stick with them. That's for sure. The question is whether of course, the Saudi money will stick with them. His question is whether he will be able to keep the players satisfied, and whether they would want to move and how many would move in the end. As for Watford, I can see Roy Hodgson staying. I mean, simply because, you know, he retired for all of, like, what, 5 months, and then he decided he was probably, you know, bored and couldn't resist the call of the mermaids again. So yeah, I think he would want to stay, and I think they would look at everyone else who's available and think, well, you know, we have a top class. I say top class because he's got an impressive resume, and probably stick with him, because, you know, who else would they get of that caliber? Yeah, you know, so yeah, I think the managers ironically are actually safe. But yeah, the players wise, well, we shall see, because yeah, you know, sometimes it's really down to the players. And speaking of which, right, we were going to talk about Leicester City and their players and their relationship with Brendan Rodgers. Cal, you had something to say about Brendan Rodgers calling his players out and saying they weren't good enough?
Yeah, man. I mean, after the FA Cup defeat to Nottingham, who also beat Arsenal in the previous round, right? So if I watched the game, I think it was 3-1 at halftime. And I think Nottingham scored two goals in 2 minutes. It just seemed like defensively, they're not there, they're not present. And this is the same form they've carried from their Premier League games, right, to the FA Cup as well. And the thing is, what happened at Leicester kind of took over the whole topic about Manchester United getting knocked out of the FA Cup, because you're the FA Cup holders, you're playing Nottingham Forest, you put a pretty what looks like a strong squad out there, and you couldn't get, not it wasn't getting the victory, but the overall performance was poor. And you know, Rodgers has already said that these are some of the players have actually hit their peak and they can't go further at this club. You know, so he's looking at the starting lineup, and a name that has been pretty much passed around a lot is Tielemans. There's some discord that we feel like Tielemans has done all he can at Leicester. You know, he's been, you know, and also the fact that his head's been done by Arsenal for what, the second season in a row now. You know, they want to bring in another player from another playmaker to suit the Arsenal style of play. He's been one that Arteta's been sourced out. So, and seeing Rodgers dropped, dude, they were fourth at one point of time. they were Champions League contenders. And normally you see Leicester do this bad run of games at the tail end, but not now. You know, they're 10th at the Premier League right now. And the thing is that I don't know whether it's time for key players in Leicester's squad to go. You know, the likes of Tielemans and Didi as well. Didi is always talked about very good, but nothing to be shown. Or is it Rodgers doing all he can at the club, and maybe it's time for him to move on as well? So just want to get your thoughts on that, Pyro.
I mean, we've seen Rodgers do this kind of thing. I mean, I've seen Rodgers do this kind of thing at Liverpool, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Where after a while, when things are not going his way, he starts blaming the players. You know, they're not of a particular caliber. But, you know, there may be some truth in it, right? It's other than the season where they won the league, Leicester has always, they've always flattered to deceive, right? They've always, at the start of the season, maybe the midway point, chasing the Champions League slots, and then they start fading away, right? And then they're struggling or to even keep themselves in the Europa League places. It could be true that, you know, that it's the caliber of the players they have at Leicester, but it could also be true that there is a lack of squad depth in Leicester for them to maintain the quality that was prevalent in the team in the earlier stages of the season, right? It could be that they needed a deeper squad with a more consistent quality all round so that they can maintain the kind of drive that they need to bring them to be the, I guess they would wish to be a top six club, you know, take the place of maybe Arsenal or Spurs up there. But the way I see it, yeah, the squad depth just isn't there. I don't think it's the problem of the players. I think the players have been pushed to their limits. You know, the likes of Tielemans, Harvey Barnes, they have quality, just that, you know, if you use them 2-3 games, you know, every 2 weeks, they're going to get worn out really fast, you know. They're going to get, you know, poor games more often than not. I think that's the thing about Leicester City. I think they are really lacking in squad depth. to be fair, we were going into the games at hand again, right? They've only played 20 games, as opposed to West Ham, who've played already 23. They win those three games in hand, they're just 2 points behind West Ham. That's not too bad of a position. But yeah, I think, you know, I think they could have done better during this transfer window to at least shore up the squad that they have. And at least, you know, I guess if I was a player at Leicester right now, I'm not feeling the support from the manager. And also from
gloom and doom over there right now.
Yeah, and I'm not feeling the support from the manager. I'm not feeling the support from my other players, because my other players are in the same boat as me. They're all exhausted. So, you know,
if you're right, when you say squad depth, you got the likes of Vardy, Pereira, Fofana, and Johnny Evans. They're all injured right now.
Yeah.
But that being said as well, the squad that played against Nottingham was Iheanacho, Harvey Barnes, Maddison, Lookman, Tielemans, Ndidi, Amarte, Soyuncu. You know, these, and maybe except for James, Justin, and Luke Thomas, and Danny Watt, but these are established Premier League players, you know. And
don't forget Kasper Schmeichel, of course, in goal.
Kasper didn't play in goal.
All right.
What they played in goal. But the fact he's got Patson Daka as well.
Yeah.
You know, formerly of Red Bull. Salzburg, and then the like of Ricardo Pereira is back as well. Mm. And for me, it was telling when he took off the likes of Tielemans, Harvey Barnes, and Lookman. Because it just seemed the only person that was fighting to win the game was Maddison. So, is this the start of the self-destruct button for Leicester? Because Premier League form is fantastic. FA Cup could have been that, you know, we've seen clubs use the FA Cup as a platform to kind of generate positivity and buzz moving forward. Even, do you think this is going to be this is the peak that actually Leicester can do? Or
I think it's the opposite. I think they've got a squad that's full of potential. You talk about the likes of James Maddison and Harvey Barnes and Yuri Tielemans. These guys, I think they have yet to hit their peak. I mean, some of them are closer than others. For example, like Maddison, Vardy is miraculously, you know, he should be past his peak, but he's still there or thereabouts. But it could happen anytime soon, because he's hitting his mid-30s soon. So, his, you know, the speed is bound to drop off sooner rather than later. But I think Leicester are a team that have always overachieved, you know, since the time they won that league title. You know, they've been riding that wave all the way to this point for the last, like, what, 7, 8 years now. You know, so Brendan Rodgers, I think, has to give himself a reality check. You know, so number one, of course, to address is the squad depth. They don't have enough players because, you know, all your first team guys are out, and then, you know, you have this other bunch that don't seem so motivated because they look like they're exhausted, having to play every game, including the cup games. So it's tough. It's tough on Leicester, right? And then because they're playing well, they have to play internationals, you know, so there's a lot of back and forth, and, you know, it doesn't help. I hate to always draw a comparison to another, you know, Blackburn team who won the title years ago, but that team had almost, you know, what, they were like 15 players that were, you know, that were rotating between the you know, in the first 11. And, you know, I was telling that when they lost, like, the likes of Shearer and, you know, sooner or later, you know, one by one, all the players go, and then you realize that the squad has fallen apart. So I think Leicester in a better position because they do have some fringe players, some younger players who are actually good, very good. But I think they haven't hit their potential. And I think, you know, it's just unfortunate that this season, or actually maybe even last season, they played so well. They were, you know, pushing for the Champions League places, just missed out. And then this season, they're 10th, because I thought they were a lot further down. Then I looked at the table and I'm like, oh no, they're 10th. They're not actually doing that badly in terms of, you know, well, you want to call them mid-table team, just right smack in the middle. So yeah, I think they've always overachieved. They can still achieve something. You know, I don't see a 7th, 8th, even 6th position out of their reach. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think it's time, like you said, for Brendan Rodgers to go if he, I don't know, just criticizing the players is just not, it's just not the greatest form of motivation in any sort of organization. I mean, yeah,
Leicester was, they were knocked out out of the Europa League as well, right?
Yeah,
it was their first and last game. You know, and as much as we, they want to be a top six club or a top five club, something on the lines of that, it's in Europe where you can actually stamp your pedigree, especially for the English clubs, right? We've seen them because the pace of the Premier League. And I think it's from there, from when that start of that Europa League exit, you would assume that they've given him more time to, you know, gel the squad further if he had to, and acquire January, nothing happened for them. I just don't know where, you know, it wouldn't be surprising because he's got 3 more years left to run on his contract for Brendan Rodgers, but that doesn't matter these days in football, right? So I don't know. I'm just seeing whether it's the start of the decline, because like Harold was right, right? When he did the same thing at Liverpool, it just kind of imploded eventually.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, I was quite shocked as well that they didn't get anyone in, but they transferred a whole lot of players out. Yeah. You know, and we're talking about squad depth, you know, even your reserves are important. So if you're shipping them out, then yeah, you know, oh wait, they did bring Armani Richards in from Arsenal. But let's see how many left the club. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. 8 guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they're all not first team players. And I think, yeah, the first team, you know, the first, what, 20? You know, 18 players needs to be that depth, and yeah, they don't have that. They don't have that. Speaking of depth, I think Hyrule, I just wanted to ask you quickly. Mm. You know, Liverpool look like they're in a pretty good position now because
touch wood.
I'm not talking about their league position so much as their squad position. Luis Diaz in from Porto. You know, Neco Williams out on loan, Nat Phillips out on loan, but. Guys like Harvey Elliott coming back from injury, and you know, suddenly it looks like they have an embarrassment of riches. What do you think? Are they going to come back refreshed? And I'm just seeing this, and I didn't realize this, but Ferran Torres, Man City, they sold him to Barcelona for £55 million. I'm quite surprised because you know, I thought they had a pretty settled squad, but you know, Liverpool wise, what do you think of the squad's position right now?
Well, the forward line definitely is seems much more exciting now with Luis Diaz, Harvey Elliott coming into the mix also. There's definitely more possibilities. I mean, you can see in the game against Cardiff, right? Klopp experimenting with it a lot more. He's now able to consider the option of having Firmino as a midfielder even and not playing in the front three, right? There's talk of, you know, if even possibly formations where you could line up a 4-4-2 instead of a 4-3-3 where you start with Jota and Salah up front, so that on possession it can turn into a 4-2-4. Which is interesting, especially more so when you're playing with the high line, the high defensive line that that he's insisted on playing this whole season. I mean, a lot has been said about that high defensive line, right? But then Liverpool has caught, I think stats-wise, they've caught the most number of offsides this season. So... like, yeah, it's the possibilities are much more there. It's interesting to see also where Luis Diaz will fit, or rather how soon he's able to gel with the rest of the team. I mean, yes, he provided an assist over the weekend against Cardiff, but I mean, this is the FA Cup, lah. I mean, when it gets into down into the, you know, nitty-gritty of the Premier League, well, I don't know. I mean, there's some people saying that he might still be a bit of a lightweight for the Premier League. I mean, he does seem a bit frail in terms of his frame as well. But we'll see, lah. I mean, also the other worry also is, you know, with the two players, Salah and Mane, coming back from the AFCON, especially for Salah, who played three games consecutively, going all the way to extra time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is going to be something. I mean, the game against Leicester on Thursday night, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who gets to play. Mane is definitely out. He gets an extended stay back in Senegal with the celebrations there, right? But Salah's back in training already. Like, he
and not because you got a concussion, right? In the previous
no,
game.
Well, thankfully, no. Yeah. Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that the possibilities to see where it can go from there, lah. Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, the whole Diaz transfer was actually a really good bargaining chip for Liverpool in the long run, because you've seen and you kind of realize this transfer window has been more of a player power window than any before. The likes of Pogba, Mbappe, they can run out their contract, move for free, Haaland on 70 million or whatever it is, that small amount is, and even Dembele. At Barca, just want to stay in their waiters and move. But I think what Liverpool did right was maybe what I think is future planning, where they have Diaz as a bargaining chip. So if Salah or Mane don't want to take the contract on offer, they want to move, fine, we can move you because we've got someone we've kind of slowly embedded into the team and back into the Premier League. Where else, if there was no one to replace that position or fill up that gap, the player can just, you know, keep demanding and keep negotiating, which we've seen even at Chelsea with Rudiger, knowing that there's no centre-backs left. He's pushing for a 300k, 200 something k wages a week. So I think what Liverpool are doing is actually going ahead of the curve and kind of learning from the other clubs as well.
I think it's also a statement of intent, right? You know, that they are not stagnating. They don't want to stagnate.
Yeah.
That if you want to stay with us, because the board is saying, you know, the club is still on an upward trajectory.
Mm.
And if you don't want to sign that contract, you know, the contracts, the contracts for Salah, Mane and Firmino are up within the next 18 months or so. Like, you know, if you want more successes, stay with us and don't look elsewhere.
Yeah. At the same time, it really smacks of excitement, right? If you're a Liverpool fan, you're not worried about, Mane going to stay or is Salah going to move? But you're like, yeah, man. Now we've got like options, like you just mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say this, Hyrule. You guys loaned out Neco Williams to Fulham and Nat Phillips to Bournemouth in the Championship. Where's the Blackburn guy? Where you should have sent both of them to Blackburn. Come on, man.
Well, we loaned one guy to you guys, you know. Leighton Stewart to you guys, but I you guys so. didn't play him. In the end, we recalled him.
I mean, would it be awesome if they loaned both Neco Williams and Nat Phillips to Blackburn? I mean, that's a Premiership backline right there. So,
Gomez also, Joe Gomez to join them as well.
Yeah. Joe Gomez. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, on the topic of Liverpool, I think one player who will actually have a longer shelf life compared to Mane and Salah is actually Firmino, because he can play that centre midfield role, even not say a centre attacking, but even as a centre midfielder. I think he's got like a longer career there because he's got good like one touch passing, deft touches as well, right? So and his overall vision of play. So I think, you know, what Klopp is doing, experimenting, could actually, Firmino could be the biggest winner in the long run as well.
Yeah, you could see that he's trying a lot more now with Luis Diaz, right? You can see that against in the Cardiff game. Now he's got someone else he can, you know, try his little flicks and moves with.
Yeah. His South American connection.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, just attitude-wise, I think, you know, just looking at the front three, right? Firmino, Salah and Mane. I think Firmino would be probably the most humble and kind of willing to stay. You know, doesn't really need to move. He knows where he made his name. He knows who helped him make his name. He knows where he's enjoyed the most success and probably where the fans love him the most. So, you know, I mean, where else in the world could he possibly move to and still be as revered, right?
So yeah, the only reason why he would move is if he feels that he's not getting enough game time to get him into the Brazil squad for the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, agree.
Speaking of tournaments, there's this particular little tournament happening over the weekend, something called the Club World Cup, and I believe Chelsea is participating in it.
Of course, you know, Champions of Europe.
Do they walk straight to the finals? Because the Champions of Europe is that still a rule or is
yeah, they go to the semis,
right?
They play Al Hilal.
Right. It's kind of like a Karate Kid 3 where, you know, Daniel LaRusso walks straight to the final. I'm like, what is this? Like,
for all you younger people, Karate Kid is actually what started your whole Cobra Kai series.
Yes.
Go back and find the VHS tape and enjoy the movie.
Yeah, man. I'm watching it with my kids now. So, yeah. So they have background when we start Cobra Kai together.
Yeah, so what's Chelsea's prospects in this tournament?
The last time we went there in Japan, we kind of lost to Corinthians in the final, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's Al Hilal, a big time Saudi team. If you don't get past Al Hilal, then something is really all awful for our team, I guess, right now. But I think we'll get past Al Hilal, and from the looks of it, Al Ahly, another big African team. I think they're the biggest African club in there, and Palmeiras. So I think, to me, we have to beat Al Hilal, and then from there we'll see whether we get Palmeiras and we can break that South American club. As long as Lakaka is playing, we can forget it.
if Chelsea win, right? Chelsea win the Club World Cup. Mm. Guys, why don't we just make it a point to go to Al Amin and have some supper there to celebrate?
Yes, we can do that. And I'll also come to my third floor neighbor, Mr. Eric, who's a Spurs supporter, and just remind him that his team is not a champions of the world. He listens, so this is for you, bro. Yeah.
But because of that, we missed a big matchup this weekend, actually. It would have been Chelsea versus Arsenal this weekend.
Yes, Chelsea. The FA Cup game against Plymouth Argyle, I think that was fine. It's just, to me, I'm just like I'm up to my wit's end with Lukaku. I'm officially done with Lukaku. I'm not gonna be bothered to criticize him or say anything else because he's done nothing for the team, and he just points and that's all he does. Whether we play Arsenal, no offense to Arsenal, but I'm not concerned with Arsenal because I don't think they're the Arsenal that we actually were fearful of back in the day. So that result should come in, and obviously Lukaku will score because he'll bully somebody there, I guess. But yeah, I think Chelsea's played 24 games, the most in the Premier League, and we'll see what the transfer window happens. You know, I hope the rumors are true. We can get Lukaku out of the wage bill, bring the next better contender to lead the Chelsea front line.
Well, do you right think now our friend, sorry, Haru, right now our friend Hata is probably tossing and turning in his
He's rolling his eyes. He always rolls his eyes at me.
He's having nightmares right now. But wait, before we move on, I just wanted to ask really quickly, Cal, when Lukaku was signed for Chelsea initially, he was seen as the final puzzle piece, right? In it to spearhead the front line. Yep. What has led to this sudden, you know, downfall? And what do you think, right, he needs to do to be able to redeem himself, if that's even possible at Chelsea?
Well, he came in fit. No offense. He came in really fit. Lukaku was the fittest I've seen when he joined Chelsea. That was like, okay, it's a different Lukaku from the time we've seen him at United. I think what the difference is, if you realize at Inter, he was the key player. He was the main man. They built the team around him and Lautaro Martinez as well. And then same thing at West Brom, same thing at Everton. He was the key player. But when you come to a club like Chelsea and you're one of the pieces, you don't stamp your authority in a game like the likes of Costa. You're not a leader like the Drogba, previous strikers before him, you know, and you don't run into space. You just stand there. You're a bit confused. And it shows in the game, he just looks lazy. He just looks just disenchanted with the team, or the team just started with him. And without Lukaku, Chelsea performed better. Truthfully, we played with, you know, as much as Werner gets criticized for his lack of goals, what he does is more different, where he runs into spaces and gets like the Pulisic, Ziyech, space for them to score. So for me, I think initially all the hype on Lukaku, but then looking back, Chelsea were the only club wanting to get Lukaku. No other club was fighting to get Lukaku. That kind of, you should say something as well, right? Because the likes of Vlahovic, when he went from Fiorentina to Juve, Arsenal were in there, you know, Real supposedly in there. Haaland is another one where your top premium strikers still have a bit of a fight in the market. But I think nobody wanted Lukaku except Chelsea for for whatever reasons. And I don't know. I'm still very, very perplexed to what he can offer to the club.
You think they'll be able to move him along, though?
I mean, he'll move himself along, right? He'll move himself along. He'll go and say that he loves the and so basically, Lukaku's transfer is very simple. I, Lukaku, insert club name, love this insert club name for many, many years, and it's my dream to play for them. Insert and to be as great as insert club name's legend. That's his transfer story, basically, right? Okay. That's what Lukaku was. He wanted to be the next Drogba. But Drogba is more than just a goal scorer. He was you know, a true leader of men, and you don't see that in Lukaku. So, yeah.
Right.
That felt good. Thank you very much. I've like cleared my
very cathartic there for hotel.
Sleep very, well tonight. Very, I'll sleep well.
So, guys, I think that's pretty much it for this week's podcast. But before we go, I know, Cal, you'll be watching the finals for the Club World Cup for this weekend, right? Any other match you'd be keeping an eye on?
The Liverpool Leicester is one I want to keep an eye on. Just to, you know, it's interesting to see the Leicester that will come out, and will Liverpool put them to the sword? Because if they play the same way they play against Nottingham, Liverpool's gonna give them a wonderful spanking and send them backpacking. So that's one that I see in the repercussions from that as well. So that's one I'm keeping an eye on.
And for you, Ewan?
I'm looking forward to the return of the Premier League in general, because after that short break and all other forms of football going on and no Premier League, it was kind of a bit of a sad football watching period for me. So but I'm excited to check out, of course, Liverpool Leicester for sure. Wolves Arsenal would be a good matchup, I think, because Wolves are on the up. Arsenal look like they're about to hit, you know, proper form right now, but yet to be seen if they can shift into the next gear. Also, Burnley, Manchester United, because, you know, it's just, I'm not going to say it's awesome to see United, you know, suffer, but you know what they're capable of. It's just which United is going to turn up, right? So it'll be interesting to see that. I mean, if the top class United turns up, it'll be a good match. If they don't show up, then watch Newcastle versus Everton instead or something.
Yeah. Actually, I'm still looking out for Napoli Inter.
Ooh, there we go.
In second, right? Because Inter just got off a loss to Milan, where they lost
tasty
in 10 minutes.
That's so one team that would have, you know, would be very grateful to have Lukaku's services.
Yeah. Yeah, have his services
the only
back.
Team that's happy to have him. with Zeko up front, so yeah.
Well, for me, I'm definitely going to be catching football, but a different kind, because it's the Super Bowl this coming Monday.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. So man.
Who's your pick for champs?
Unfortunately, my Niners didn't make it. Yeah. So
but Vikings never make it, so you know.
but yeah, that's something I'm definitely looking forward to on Monday morning. A different kind of football, but you know, we love all sports over here.
Right.
It's an Indian team, Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey.
I didn't yes. remember. I'm going to
you start. Found your team, man.
Found my team, the Bengals.
Oh, Bengals. I saw it as Cincinnati Bagels. So, but yeah, you know.
Hungry, bro.
Hungry, yeah. Middle of the night, hungry.
But for supper, bro.
I have this sneaking suspicion the Bengals are going to win it. I don't know why. Because, you know, they just, yeah. I mean, they defeated the Chiefs after, you know what, going down 28-3 or something, some crazy amount. And yeah, so, I mean, American sports, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if anyone's interested to catch that, I believe you can get subscription for it at 99 cents only for the Game Pass.
Oh, yeah. Nice. On the NFL Game Pass. Lost another semifinal.
Yes. They were leading. Your Indian the most team, bro.
Sway, man. I think last year it was against the Buccaneers, and they also lost.
Yeah, okay. So the Buccaneers, different story. They've got, like, you know, they've got Tom Brady, who's like experienced, right? Yeah, but he's retired this season. But, you know, this time against the Bengals, he just, they looked like they were just going on to for a routine win. And then they just, he just, I don't know, just didn't manage the game well. I mean, the defense for the Bengals showed up really well. And then he just couldn't, they just couldn't score after that. Yeah.
You know what's the best thing about Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
The halftime show.
Yes. Dr. Dre, Eminem.
Right? Yeah. 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 It's going to be a massive halftime show, I think, this time around. And let's hope that some new trailers also, hopefully.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes.
Yep, yep. Tasty. Wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, in case we lost some listeners over there, yes. But no, come on, guys. It's like... all sports, man. Yeah. Love all sports. Anyway, yeah, that's all from us for this week. We'll catch you guys again next week. That's all from me signing off. Ciao, guys.
Ciao.
Bye-bye. Bye.